Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, installing energy-efficient windows to help lower utility bills year-round. More at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. For many people, summer is synonymous with sunny days spent splashing about at a lake, a beach, or an outdoor community pool. But being in or even near water in such situations is perilous for many others because they can't swim. Just last year, a report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention showed that, compared to 15% of all adults who reported they didn't know how to swim, more than a third of Black adults reported the same. And only one in three Black adults said they'd ever taken a swimming lesson. KFF Health News published a feature this week that dives into the historical, social, and cultural factors that have contributed to those numbers. It also shines a spotlight on the North St. Louis Mako swim team and how its all African-American youth members are getting grown-ups in the pool to learn how to be safe in the water and feel the joy that comes from swimming too. Joining us to talk about this with us and their personal connections to that story, we welcome Taria Goodwin, or Coach T, one of the two coaches for the O'Fallon Park-based Mako swim team. Hello.
Hello.
We also have two parents of Mako swim team members and Black Swimmers Alliance board members, Brodnan Jacob Sims, hello to you, and Randella Randall, hello to you as well.
Hello.
And welcome, all of you, to the program. And I'd like to invite you to the conversation. Do you recall your first pool experience? If you did learn to swim, who taught you and where? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. So I'd like to begin with some background on the Mako swim team. Coach T, can you give us a brief intro and tell us what Mako swim team is and what it's meant to do?
Well, we started in O'Fallon Park and Rec YMCA complex. So the building opened in 2013. So we started around 2014. Mm-hmm. And so we had a group of swimmers and swim lessons. And we said, hey, let's try to do a swim team. So we took these group of swim lesson kids who didn't know anything about swim team, and didn't even know swim team even existed. So we taught them how to swim. Then we started doing recreational swim competitions. Mm-hmm. And 10 years later, we done grew to a real competitive YMCA and USA swim team. Mm-hmm.
So those kids and their grown-ups, their parents, their families, what did they think of the idea of starting a team?
They was excited. They was just glad to be able to swim and get in the water. And they didn't understand the concept of racing at that point. Mm-hmm. But they quickly caught on.
Yeah. And what do you think attributed to the team's growth? I mean, starting something can be very difficult, especially if there's a little bit of convincing that you have to do. It sounds like people were enthusiastic about it, but what do you think then made it possible for the team to grow?
Parents. Mm-hmm. I think the parents, their commitment, and the coaches' commitment and our commitment to teach them first safety around pool, then teach them the rules, and then just become a family, a community mm-hmm. in swimming.
Yeah.
So they just started growing. And other kids around that was in swim lessons, like, what are they doing? Why are they swimming like that? Didn't understand. And they just got excited, and their parents asked more questions, and more kids started coming along.
Mm-hmm. Brodnan, for you, did you come to Mako's because of what you were seeing or what your daughter was seeing?
No, actually, I had her do swim lessons because swimming is important to me because of my past mm-hmm. And what I've been through. So she was doing swim lessons. I was looking for a team when I saw that she likes to swim. So I happened to go to a community fair. It was a Hispanic fair that they had by Soulard. And the YMCA was out there. They had a table. And they were introducing swim lessons. They were like, we offer swim lessons. And yeah. I said, what I need is a swim team.
Okay.
And they were like, call the O'Fallon Y. There's a swim team there. And I did that. And at the time, the person I spoke to was Courtney. And I explained to her, I was like, my daughter has taken lessons. I've seen how she loves the water. I'm interested in a team. I knew I wanted her on the team. I just didn't know what team. And it's just by coincidence, I was led to the Mako swim team. Mm-hmm. Coach T texted me, asked me some questions. And then she was like, have her come in. We're going to see, you know, what she can do. And that's what happened. And my daughter didn't even know that's what we were going to do that day. So she, because the day we went was a Wednesday. So Coach T does dry land. So Carter was looking at me like, so I really got to do these exercises? And I'm like, yeah. And then Coach T had her swim up and down the lanes.
Yeah.
And she did exactly what Coach T wanted her to do. And I didn't think she was going to make it, but Coach T was like, she made it.
Yeah,
she's good.
Yeah.
And
Bradlin, you mentioned your own story, your personal history. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. And in 2005, we experienced Hurricane Katrina, which flooded the city. So many people drowned. And it attributes to that because a lot of folks could not swim.
Right.
And I knew then it was important for me. At the time, I only had my son. He's 27 now.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I had to get him in lessons because I wanted him to know how to swim. Never thought of me. So thinking of me taking lessons is later, but
right,
I knew
right.
it was important for him, and especially because he liked water as mm-hmm. well. So when that happened, you know, it's a lot of thought, you know, coming to your head as far as when you're surrounded with water, because we never thought that would happen.
Right.
What would you do?
Mm-hmm.
What can you do? You know, I even had a friend when an anniversary comes, which is about to come up 20 years in August. We used to talk about it, and everybody tells their experience of that. She had a hard time talking about it. And then when we kind of was able to talk to her about it, she was like, because her experience was that if it wasn't for her brother knowing how to swim, the family would have died in the house because the water was coming up. So he had to swim to get them help.
Yeah.
So, that's why swimming is important, to know what to do.
Right, right.
And it's if you talk to people and different people in New Orleans, they'll say, you know, everybody knows someone that passed away during Hurricane Katrina. And some of it is a result to not knowing how to swim
right,
or what
right.
to do or to save yourself. Because Coach T always tell us, you know, you once you go down, you're going to come back up. And it's important not to panic. And know what to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why swimming is important.
Right.
And it's not just for our kids, but ourselves too.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
You know, Coach T, what Bradlin has shared with us, it is about dry land suddenly becoming wet land and engulfing land. When you are working with the kids, how much of that are you thinking about?
With the swim lessons, that's all I'm thinking about with kids and adults. I tell them to save themselves. They have to learn how to save themselves
mm-hmm.
in any situation. For the swim team, because they know how to swim already, I don't want them to get confused about because they know how to swim, but in another situation. So they have to swim with clothes on,
mm-hmm.
fully clothed, because we never know what going to happen and what situation where water comes in. And sometimes even with the kids, when they don't have their goggles on, they
mm-hmm.
forget they know how to swim.
Oh, right.
Because
right.
they're so used to having all this protective stuff, goggles, cap, swimsuit. We're not going to be in that situation. You're not going to have cap and goggles. You're not going to have a swimsuit on something if emergency happens.
Right.
So, because water is, we surrounded by water. Mm-hmm. It's so important. It's so, drowning is so preventable.
Right, right.
So lessons is important. We teach our kids how to cross the street. Mm-hmm. Look both ways. We need to get everyone, and any and everyone in the water to learn how to swim.
And Bradlin's daughter, Carter, she actually pointed out some of the training that she has received from you, Coach T, and I think from your co-coach that has to do with being prepared.
Yes.
One day our coach, she made us wear jeans and a t-shirt because she said that if you're ever inside the ocean, something happened, you're in your clothes or something happened, you have to swim with your clothes on. She wants us to be able to be used to it.
And again, that was 11-year-old Carter Sims, who's the daughter of Bradlin Jacob Sims, who's sitting here with us today. The innocence in her voice and also her awareness of why she needed to go through that kind of exercise is, I think, really indicative of, Bradlin, what you were saying, that this preparation is really important. Randella, for you and your son Elijah, how is it that you came to Mekos? And maybe, I mean, what is the story of swimming in your lives?
So for me, I'm a little older, so I have a son that's 21 years apart. And my parents didn't learn how to swim when they were younger. They weren't allowed into the swimming pools and some of the swimming areas. So they didn't teach us how to swim. I have a couple of brothers that know how to swim, but because they went to the service, or I have a brother that learned how to swim so he could be a lifeguard. But we went on a family vacation, and I had already put my son into swimming lessons at the Barrow YMCA on a regular basis, my older son. But we went on a swimming vacation, and one of my nieces, 5 years old, she felt like she knew how to swim. She jumped into the pool, and my son had to pull her out because she didn't know how to swim. That solidified for me that all kids need to know the basics of learning how to swim. So when Elijah came along 20 years later, Barrow YMCA, here we come. Mm-hmm. And while at Barrow YMCA, one of the longstanding swim teachers, Mr. Michael and Miss Betty, they saw something in Elijah, and they recommended that I reach out to Coach T about the swim learning. And one of the things about my son is he's a larger kid. Mm-hmm. He's about 200 pounds, right up under 6 feet. And so when you see him, a coach sees him, the stereotypical thing is, I want him to play football. Mm-hmm. He'll be great at playing football. My son has currently no interest in football, has never had any interest in football. And he has asthma and medical conditions that don't allow him to be out in the grass. Mm-hmm. So I had to find something that would allow him to get that exercise in. And once I joined that team, not only did he start to excel, he started to manage his weight better. Mm. Coach T, you know, talks about exercising and what are you eating? What are you putting in your body? And they pay attention. Mm-hmm. They pay attention. And it has helped him to manage his breathing better. So it has helped his asthma better. There's so many things that swimming allows us to do that some of our kids can't do outside. Mm-hmm. And so that's why.
So the benefit is not just survival, but it's also thriving.
It's thriving.
Yeah, yeah.
For life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because just like she mentioned, Carter has severe asthma. And I remember when she first started with Coach T, she would swim and she would get out the pool and need a pump. So I was like, okay, what she's going to do in a meet? When she had her first meet, because swimming teaches them the breathing, what they need to do to breathe. She did her first meet. She didn't need the pump. And even now, and when I told our pulmonologist, she was like, I think that's good for her because it's going to help her with her breathing. Because we get a lot of people say, my kid has asthma. And I'm like, mine do too. She gets shots every month for her asthma. Mm. But she still managed and she still swim. And I think swimming has helped that because it helps the lungs with the breathing and everything as well. Mm-hmm. So it also, it adds a benefit to that as well.
Yeah, multiple benefits.
Yes.
We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation about swimming, the historical, social, and cultural barriers that Black Americans have faced in learning how to swim, and how kids and adults in St. Louis, specifically North St. Louis, are not only learning to be safe in the water, but finding great joy in it too. We'd also like to invite you to join us. Do you know how to swim? What is your comfortability level in the water? Join our conversation by calling 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send email to talk@stlpr.org. Don't go far. We'll be right back. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Turiya Goodwin, Bradlyn Jacob-Sims, and Randella Randell. We're discussing the Mako Swim Team, which is an all-African-American youth swim team in North St. Louis, and how it has been a place for Black kids and adults to learn how to be safe in the water. Before the break, we were talking about some of your personal experiences and how you decided to get your children, Randella and Bradlyn, involved with the Mako Swim Team. And Bradlyn, you had mentioned, you dropped a little hint about your learning to swim and that coming later, and that's relatively recently, right?
Yes.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So, you know, it was always in my mind, I'm like, I'm around a lot of water because Carter, of course, is swimming. And then when the coaches found out I didn't know how to swim, and a lot of other moms did not know how to swim, including Randy. They were like, y'all need to take lessons. Then, of course, the kids chime in and was like, you need to take lessons. So the conversation started where we were kind of telling our stories about, you know, us not knowing how to swim, what our fears are. So there's another parent who's actually a swim instructor for the O'Fallon Y. So she, her daughter swims on the swim team. So she's listening to us as well tell our stories, and her name is Mahogany. Mm-hmm. So she started encouraging us and say, I'll teach you guys. And with the coaches pushing us as well, we were like, okay. And Mahogany was like, I'll teach you guys, because we're sitting here at practice, we might as well be in the water while the kids are practicing learning how to swim. Coach T and Coach Tori, they're nice enough sometimes to give us a lane to practice in the deep part as well, because the fear, and I always would think, like, if I happen to slip in this water, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. So since I started lessons, I know to come up and not to fight the water, to blow out in the water when I come up. And of course, I still look for the wall, but I'm comfortable now. You know, I still have work to do, but I'm comfortable. But it was the coaches, it was our kids pushing us, like, you know, Mama, you need to learn how to swim. You know, sometimes Carter was like, let's race.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know the strokes, but they laugh at me.
Okay.
because I'll try the strokes.
Right.
But it's the safety part of knowing what to do if you find yourself in a body of water, you know, knowing what to do.
Yeah. Coach T, I have not asked you, how is it that you started swimming and who taught you?
My mom and her siblings, none of them know how to swim. And she was so terrified that anything could happen. When I was probably 3 years old, she sent me to Lindenwood YMCA at 3 and 4. and I had swim lessons. And I kept going. And then when I had went to Boys and Girls Club, and they had a group swim lessons, and me and my cousin, we already knew how to swim at 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. And there was a coach there, and he like, hold on, these two kids know how to swim, which was, he was, and it's probably, probably was like 50 kids there.
Okay.
And we were the only two that knew how to swim at that moment.
Wow.
And he joined, he grabbed us, Coach Leonard Horn, he said, come and join my swim team. Mm-hmm. And we did. We joined a swim team. It was a couple other, it was all African-American too. Mm-hmm. And it was probably about 10 of us. It could have got a little more, but we all friends to this day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I stayed on there from 6 and I swam competitively till 18. Mm-hmm.
So as you are hearing Bradlin and Randella share what some of the stories are, how much does that reflect some of the things that you heard as you were growing up as a Black swimmer and then as a coach who's working with Black children?
When I was younger, I didn't really see or notice, pay attention. I just thought everyone knew how to swim. But as I got older and then I became a lifeguard and I was in our community, and jumping in and getting, I'm like, everyone don't know how to swim, mm-hmm. especially in our neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So I hear it a lot.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like trying to get the word out. It's so important. Mm-hmm. We have to know how to swim.
Yeah.
We're drowning more than our white counterparts. So mm-hmm. I'm just like, let's change that. And I love to hear parents are allowing their young kids, because they was afraid mm-hmm. of swimming. They yeah. didn't used to let their kids swim because they was afraid. But now that's changing. Now we're getting more and more parents like, hey, let's get them to swim. Let's get them swim. And then we get more pools are more accessible. They got scholarships, opportunity for swim lessons in mm-hmm. our community. And so now it's more affordable.
Yeah.
So that's, we get them. We get them in the water. We need them in the water.
Right. What you've mentioned, Coach T, and what we've talked about in describing what this conversation is going to be about, we have mentioned the historical, the social, and the cultural factors that have been barriers, particularly for Black Americans to learn how to swim. And Randella, among the three of you here, you're the one who is a St. Louis native. Do you remember hearing any stories about things that have happened in St. Louis that that have made you or other people you know wary of learning to swim or wanting to do that?
Well, of course. We've had problems with Fairgrounds Park pool mm-hmm. that closed so many years ago because they didn't want us in their pool. And so a lot of people strayed away from learning how to swim, allowing their children to be impacted by that negativity by staying away from any swim pools. Mm-hmm. And when you go into a lot of areas that offer a swim, you don't see a lot of us. But as we sit here today under the Black Swimmers Alliance, under a parent of the Mako swim team, we want people to know that we see them, we celebrate them, we see them too, and you can learn how to swim. Mm-hmm. You know, we're hosting an International Water Day on May 15th with SLU Partnership. We want people to come out and get more information. We want you to meet us at O'Fallon Park Y. Come look at the less. Come look at practice. Mm-hmm. And let's get our kids excited about being able to impact the community to save a life. Mm-hmm. Because really, that's all we want to do. We, as a swim team, as the Black Swimmers Alliance, Coach T, that is one thing that the coaches preach to us is this is going to save a life.
Mm-hmm. We have Kleba, who is calling in from St. Louis. Kleba, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Please go ahead.
Well, I'm in my 80s, and I learned how to swim at Marquette Park Pool in South St. Louis. It was taught by the Red Cross. Mm-hmm. And in the middle 1950s, the city of St. Louis integrated swimming pools, and lots of white people kept their kids away. My parents made sure I was going to go there and swim and learn how to swim, but mm-hmm. that wasn't the case. And then, as was already mentioned, the pool up at Fairgrounds Park, where there was a much larger population of black people, a considerable amount of violence broke out there, and black kids were, rocks and bricks were thrown at black kids who came to get in the swimming pool there, mm-hmm. which eventually led to the city closing the pool and then covering up the whole area and concreting it in. And so there was really never a great place to swim in our St. Louis until the YMCA then built the O'Fallon Park Pool because of that racial history of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. So that O'Fallon Park Pool really, it has a deep history. Kleba, have you heard people talking about what happened back, you know, in 1949? You know, has that come up in conversations when you have talked with people about swimming?
Well, the truth of the matter is I give Black History bus tours of St. Louis. So I've had 500 people on the tour, and they hear about that when we go by Fairgrounds Park.
Right,
people
right.
People comment on it. So I've heard more comments than most people would ever hear.
Mm-hmm. So you are helping build awareness of something that is part of our region's history.
Yes, I give yes. Black History bus tours of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kleba, so much for calling and sharing your personal history. The cultural or social barriers, we just talked about some of the social. Were there any cultural barriers that you observed, Randhawa, as you were growing up, and ones that maybe you've had to shake off or that you've heard other people talk about among the Black Swimming Alliance members, things that they've had to shake off in order to get into the pool?
Absolutely. What we find most times is people think we can't swim. People assume that we are basketball players and football players, or the only other thing we know how to do is run. Mm-hmm. I can tell you we are amazing at whatever we do. But at swimming, as we are growing this community and this population, you are going to be astounded and amazed at what comes out of St. Louis. Mm-hmm. The kids are dedicated and they are good at swimming. Mm-hmm. But they didn't know that they could choose swimming over basketball. They could choose swimming over ballet. They could choose swimming over football. There are so many opportunities that our kids miss out on because we're not open to other ideas. And as a child, my parents didn't allow us to go near swimming pools just because of all of the racial things that have happened within St. Louis or in other states. St. Louis is not alone
right.
in how, you know, we reacted back then. But I want everyone to know that Black swimmers are here. We are here to stay, and we are going to prevent drowning under the St. Louis Makos, under the Black Swimmers Alliance. We are going to commit to preventing drowning around the world, mm-hmm. not just in St. Louis, because we have to save ourselves.
Right.
Nobody else is going to save you.
Mm-hmm. To that point, Rocket McDonald is 13 years old and is one of the Mako swim team members. And even at that age, he recognizes that his being in the pool is just a start.
Maybe if there was more people like us, we would be more comfortable and less intimidated.
So the intimidation factor with the Black Swimmers Alliance, one of the things that you all are doing is trying to ensure that a certain number of youth can learn how to swim. Why is the reporting that was done by Kara Anthony for KFF Health, why is it so important, Randhawa?
Kara Kara, it came in, and you know, a lot of journalists have their own agenda on what they're going to do. Kara came in and she listened, she saw, she implemented herself in not just our swim practice. She came to swim meets to view, and she talked to us, and she became family. And her story, it told the heart. It talked about the heart. She was very intentional in how she treated us. Mm-hmm. She was very intentional in the respect of the history of our Black Americans, the history of our New Orleans, what our parents have gone through, the goal of our coach, the goal of the O'Fallon YMCA to participate in the prevention of drowning and the health, because we talked to her about the health benefits of mm-hmm. swimming. It's not just we're going to prevent drowning, but we're going to help you work on your asthma. We're going to help you with your allergies. We're going to help you with your physical, your mental, and all of that. And Kara, when I say I respect her so much with the way she told the story, because she told the story as if she had known us for 30 years, mm-hmm. as if she started this with us.
Yeah.
And that was a great experience. And we appreciate her beyond.
Mm-hmm. And in our last 30 seconds here, Bradlin, what does it feel like to be in the water now that you know how to swim?
Free. It's joyous, but it's free to know that I'm going to be okay. I know what to do. Mm-hmm. And it just feels free. And that's why, just to piggyback off of what Randy said, Kara's article is important because it brings awareness of how important it is for our the Black community, period, to learn how to swim, not to be afraid of the water, and then just to know what to do, the safety part of it. Mm-hmm. We talk about health and everything, but knowing how to swim, that's a health issue too, as well.
Right, right.
And so many benefits, but being able to jump in the water and know what to do is free.
Yeah.
It feels free.
Bradlin Jacob Sims and Randella Randall are Mako Swim Team parents and board members of the Black Swimming Alliance. And Taria Goodwin is a coach for the All African American Youth Mako Swim Team. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Elaine Cha. Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.